For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Come ye sinners, lost and alone. Blood can make you free, for he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, oh yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the writer tells us that we need to move on from our salvation. We have established our salvation in the precious cross of Jesus Christ. We have been baptized, and we now understand the doctrines of judgment and of baptisms. So he tells us it's time to move on, for if we do not move on, we're going to stay a baby in the work of the Lord. And a baby who does not grow up becomes a burden to its parents. Not too long ago, I watched on TV as they showed a 16-year-old
person being driven around in a stroller. Yes, that person looked like a two-year-old. It was in a stroller, it hadn't grown, but if you look closely, it had the characteristics of a 16-year-old in its face. But for some reason, its body never developed. And the scientists are now studying it for the gene that keeps it so young. I personally believe the gene that keeps it so young has been tampered with by the devil. That's what they fail to see. And as that child will grow older, it'll not stay young. Its body will simply decay like the rest of us. So we need to understand the tricks of the devil. And God is teaching us from the natural, we have to operate the same way in the spiritual. A person needs to grow up. We don't just drink milk, we start eating meat, and then we start working for the kingdom of God. And the Bible teaches us we have been called to preach this gospel, to cast out devils, to bring the heathen to the kingdom of God, to turn them from the powers of darkness and bring them to the light of the Lord. Yes, that's the commission the church has been given us. But it seems like the now generation of Christians have been taught that as long as we come to church on Sunday, that's doing our Christian duty. It is far from that. Going to church on Sunday is just a gas station, a place where you fill up so that during the week you can work in the ministry of God. And today I'll teach on this subject. Each and every one of us has a work in the ministry. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace of God. I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to your word today so that we can understand what you expect from us. I know the judgment seat of Christ is looming and we need to get our priorities straight. So, Lord, you will open our heart to your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter 26, the Lord God is getting Paul's attention as he is on his way to persecute the Christian. And when he knocks him off his horse, the Apostle Paul asks God, "Who are you?" Then the Lord said unto him, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of these things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee." And in verse 18 it tells us to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When we study these scriptures here, it is very clear that the Lord God is speaking to the Apostle Paul, whom had been persecuting the Christians. He was killing them. And the Apostle Paul asks, "Who are you? And what is this about?" And then Jesus tells him, "I am Jesus, and you're persecuting me." In other words, if anybody persecutes a Christian, he is in reality persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches us that we, the bride of Christ, have become one with Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us over and over again that he is not ashamed to be our brethren. He tells us that we have become one with him. He tells us in John 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So here is the Lord Jesus Christ telling the Apostle Paul, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but I have a commission for you. I will send you to the Gentiles to turn them from the powers of darkness to the powers of God, to turn them from the darkness to the light. This is your job, Paul, and this is what he is telling each and every one of us, that this is what we have to do, to turn the Gentiles, to turn the unbeliever from the powers of darkness onto the power of God. And the powers of God are incredible, but we have to understand that the powers of darkness are also strong. And a human being, which was created in the image of God, has in him a void that seeks to fill itself. We seek to fill it. And that void, in many cases, seeks power. And this is why we see all this on earth going on. There are many, many people who are seeking for power. And they will go into the spirit of witchcraft to find that power. And that is totally forbidden by the word of God. We have to understand it is possible to get power from Satan. This is why God forbids it. He knows that you're going to destroy yourself with it. And we need to understand that the Bible totally makes it illegal. The Bible calls it an abomination to get into that spiritual realm through the powers of darkness. For those of you who don't believe in this power, who simply think that this is just something in our minds and was just something for the heathen, we have to understand if God forbids it, then it must be real. And God is telling us to turn to Him to seek that power, and then we will not be disappointed. There are many gifts of the Spirit given to God's people, and we need to figure out which gift is ours. Many Christians hardly ever bother to seek out what God has called them to do. I want to explain something here. Not too long ago, I was watching some commentary on Christian TV. And this guy made an interesting statement. He said, out of the millions of babies that have been aborted, how many of them had an answer in him to cure cancer, to bring forth new energies that would take care of the energy crisis? But the devil, to keep us in our misery, has caused that baby to be aborted. That is something to think about. And when I study that, I think of all the preachers who teach against the power of the gifts of the Spirit, who teaches us that these things went out with the apostles. They did not abort the baby that is supposed to bring the power of God and healing and miracles upon this planet. They did not necessarily abort the baby, but they stunted it at birth so that it will not grow by teaching that young baby that these things are not for today. Think about that. Think what preachers can do to the kingdom of God if they do not seek out the will of the Lord from the word of God. Many instead go their own way, teaching what they have been taught and never giving a thought that they could be doing great harm and damage to the work of God. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, he gives some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It tells us here that God gift the church gifts. He gives them different types of people who excel, who are anointed for certain things. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, there are teachers. We have to see that, and we have to study that and seek these things out for ourselves. What gift has God given to you? What are you missing when you're listening to a preacher who tells us that these things are not for today? This is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and I have a feeling many will be found wanting. Not that they'll lose their salvation, but they will have to face the fact that they were teaching error to the church of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches us. Be not many teachers, for if you seek that office, then you have greater responsibility and the judgment will be harsher. Yes, this is what's coming to the teachers of God in the future. When they do not stick to the word of God, they will have to face the consequences of the damage that they have done to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it tells us, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So the Bible teaches us here, we are all one body, and we need to understand our office. He says, "If a foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is there therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" So he's giving us example. If the ear would say unto the eye, "I don't see," what sense would that make? In the natural realm, we understand that very clearly. Even though the ear does not see, it is still part of the body, because the eye depends on the ear to hear. Otherwise, it would not know what's going on behind it. The Lord is giving us an example here that we, the body of Christ, need to work with one another, need to operate in the gifts of the Spirit that God has given us with one another. For what? So that we can come into a unit that will not be swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes along. And then the Apostle Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. "And God has sent some in the church. First, he sends us apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues." Then he asks the question here, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So he is putting a question to us here. We don't all do the same thing, but we need to accept one another so that we can work together. For what? To bring the church into unity and into a machine that will bring forth the work of the kingdom of God. Yes, just like an army in the physical. An army needs training, it needs officers, it needs different types of operations. This is exactly how it works in the spirit realm when it comes to Christianity. We all have our gifts from God, and we need to seek them out, and we need to work together with them. And the gifts are very clearly written here. Apostles, prophets, teachers, healings, people who have the gift of healing, miracles, people who have the gift of miracles. How many Christians are there in the Christian world who have never grown up, who are still babies, who are still on milk, who have the gift of healing in them, but because of the teachers that teach them, they have never grown up, Nobody has ever seen their miracles and nobody ever will if they continue the way they are. How many are there who have the gifts of healings? Yes, we need to ask ourselves these questions. For the Lord has laid it out very clearly how it works. And once we start to understand it, we need to seek it for ourselves. In this, we have to know and understand it is to further the kingdom of God, to bring the light to those who don't know the truth, to bring light to the Gentiles, as was proclaimed to the Apostle Paul, so that we can hasten the day of the Lord. Yes, Jesus is trying to get our attention. He wants us to seek after these gifts so that we can work for Him in the ministry that He has called us into. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen. Starts to operate on spiritual gifts with the gifts of the Spirit. There are many critics out there who will always try to warn you, oh, you got to be careful that you're not operating with a deceptive spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In verse 4 it tells us, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we don't have to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit if we are born again by the Spirit of God, for it tells us that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit will work through us once we're born again. It tells us, for the gifts of the Spirit are these, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So he clearly outlines the gifts of the Spirit here. And I always emphasize, you need to seek out what gift the Lord has given you. There are many who will say in the church, well, I don't need those gifts really. I'm born again and they're not really important today. The question I have for you, if you are a bride of Christ and you do not know what gift you have and you're not really interested in the gift that the Lord has given you, I will give you an example from the natural. In the Old Testament, when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to bring a bride back to Isaac, and that bride was Rebekah, and he gave him many, and Abraham gave his servant many gifts to give to the bride. And that bride, Rebekah, Isaac's bride, took those gifts and received them with joy. And she came back to Isaac to be his wife. So the question I have for you, if the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead, a part of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, offers these gifts unto you, and you neglect and even reject them, does that sound like that you're a bride of Christ? How will the Father look to that? What will he think of that if you are nonchalant about the gifts that the Holy Spirit offers, or even say that these things were for the early church there, not for us? If that's your attitude, then you will have to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ why you did not receive the gifts that the bridegroom wanted to offer you. You simply didn't care, or you were taught against them. I don't know what your excuse will be, but one thing you know now for sure, that the Word of God teaches that the gifts are given to the bride of Christ and they need to be used for the kingdom of God, for the furthering of the kingdom. And if you don't, you will have to give an account for why you did not receive those gifts that were so freely offered to you. Yes, with salvation comes the gift of being a bride, but with the gift of salvation, there also comes those gifts of operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you do not receive them and do not seek them, then you will have to one day give an account, and the Lord will hold you responsible regardless what you were taught. So the Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.